honour. Beautiful peace and beautifully sung as well. Thank you so much tonight. Let's come before the Lord. Father, I thank thee tonight for the Lamb of God who come to take away the sin of this world. And O God, as we come to your word just now, we pray that you would speak through it. We ask for help and for blessing in our Saviour's name. Amen. Our text tonight is in the Gospel of John, just one verse. I'm sure by now you figured it all out anyway. The Gospel of John, in chapter 1, and verse 29. I think the boys are going to put it up on the screen. John chapter 1, and verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming up to him and say, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And of course God will bless the reading of his word tonight in public. This is a great verse in our Bibles. It concerns a man by the name of John the Baptist. He was one of those good Baptists. And John was a great Baptist preacher. Of course, he was the Lord's earthly cousin, Mary, and his mother, Elizabeth. And he was a cousin of the Lord Jesus. Of course, we know that he was a forerunner to the Lord Jesus. He had been prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 3, Isaiah, that old prophet, it was written almost 1,000 years before the Lord even was born, before John was born. And Isaiah wrote in his prophecy about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. John was the voice in the wilderness, but the Lord Jesus was the word. John was the voice, but Christ was the word. John's preaching was straight to the point. As he preached, he said, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was a man who led the people. John had disciples, and he had a following, and he went through Palestine at this particular time, the land of Israel, preaching. And he was preaching about a kingdom that would come, and about a Messiah that would come. He led the people, and he looked for the Messiah. And this great day that we read of in John chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist, he was baptizing on the banks of the Jordan River. And as he baptized that day, the Lord Jesus Christ himself drew near. And as John was baptizing there, he looked up and he seen him. And by the Holy Spirit who inspired him, he realized that his cousin, his earthly cousin, the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, was truly the Messiah. And on this occasion he points and he says this, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. John was the voice, but Christ was the word. And I just want to take this text for a few minutes at the end of our meeting tonight. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And I want to think of it tonight in this particular way. I want us to go to the back of the text, to the end of the text, and work our way back. We are all from Lurgan after all. We're a wee bit crooked anyway. So we're going to start at the end, and we're going to work our way to the start of it. And so we want to think, first of all, about Earth's basic problem. Earth's basic problem. Is this the sin of the world? The sin of the world. And then I want us to think about heaven's bountiful provision, the Lamb of God. And then I want to think about salvation's blessed principle. Behold, earth's basic problem, the sin of the world. Sin, mind you, is a small word, isn't it? Just three letters, S-I-N. Just a small word. And yet what great consequences, deadly consequences it has. People don't like to be told and talked about about their sin. They'll talk about the weather, they'll talk about business, they'll talk about the television and everything else. But when you come to the great conversation stopper is sin and the consequences of sin. People don't like to be told about sin. And each of us tonight are stained by sin. Each of us tonight in this hall, tonight in this sanctuary, each of us as we listen over the internet tonight, whether it's Facebook Live or whether it's sermon audio tonight, no matter what part of the world you're watching us from tonight, each of us of the human race have this great disease, this great cancer in our soul. The little word sin, S-I-N. I was looking up on World O-Meter on Friday night at 7:10 as I sat on Friday night, just looking at this again, at 7:10 on Friday night. And World Meter told me that at that particular time, there was 7,795,575,866 people living on planet Earth. That's a big number, isn't it? Tonight, as I looked over this again, before I come out, at 5 o'clock tonight, in our house, I looked at it again. 10 to 7, let's say 7 o'clock on Friday night. 5 o'clock tonight, almost 48 hours later, there is 7,796,500,099 people alive on planet Earth. That means that within that 48 hour period, there's an extra 1 million people on this planet. 273,057 people, children, babies, have been born today. 114,107 people have died. That's big numbers. And every one of them has a big, big problem. Sin. There was babies in here this morning, and how good it was to see them. There was a 3-month-old baby here this morning. It's the first time that many of us have seen her. How beautiful she was. How proud the parents were. And rightly so. And yet that little baby of 3 months old was born in sin. And so this is Earth's basic problem tonight. It is an international problem. Sin. Our TV screens, our newspapers, Sky News, and all these different things. We just watch them for a moment or two and realize the consequences of sin. An international problem. An international problem. And yet, not only is it an international problem tonight, but it's an individual problem. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and when they ate of the fruit, and when they disobeyed God, well then sin has passed upon all men. Romans 5:12 reminds us that as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so sin has passed upon all men, all have sinned. And each of us tonight have sinned, and each of us have fallen short of the glory of God. What a load of sin it is. We're all burdened by it. It's vileness, it's evilness, the wrongness of it. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, or sin offends God. It's a problem that needs dealt with, because the wages of sin is death. And each of us will die if the Lord doesn't come. And death has passed upon all men, because all have sinned. And the Bible tells us that death is not the end. When we die, our bodies, our spirit leaves our bodies, it goes to eternity, and we can spend eternity in one of two places, heaven with Christ or hell without him. Heaven with the glory and splendor of God, a place prepared, he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And yet the unbeliever and those who trample the blood of Christ go down and down and down. Doesn't Philip Bowles sing, sin takes you farther than you want to go. Take you down. down. Remember Lot? He chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. And he started up on the high pasture and he began to go down. He went into that great sin city. He became a counselor in the city. And very soon God rained fire and brimstone from heaven and he came out of it by the hand and the hand of an angel. And he lost everything. He lost his home. He lost his possessions. He even lost his wife. Sin takes you down. He escaped. Oh, sin pays bad wages. You remember that young man in Luke 16? He ended up in hell in the torment and the fire. And he said to Abram, he said, as he looked over that fixed gulf, he said, send someone back to my father's house. He couldn't bear it. He couldn't bear to think any of his family would ever end up in that same place that he was in. Oh, what a problem sin is. Earth's basic problem, sin. Hey, aren't you glad that the gospel message doesn't stop there? Because if the gospel message stopped there, well then, I wouldn't be preaching it anyway. And all these men that are more capable than me. Earth's basic problem is sin. But heaven's bountiful position, the verse tells us, bountiful provision is the Lamb of God. Oh, what a great theme this is in our Bible, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed them out. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the answer to earth's basic problem. This is the answer to the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. And what a theme in the Bible it is. You turn away back there to Genesis chapter 22. Do you remember how Abram and Isaac, how God had promised Abraham a son? And Abram had waited for over 100 years. And Isaac was born. And in Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abram, he says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, you love with all your heart, and take him to Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice on the altar. And as they climbed the mountain, Isaac said to his father, he said, Father, he says, we have the wood and we have the fire for the sacrifice. But where is the lamb? And Abram's answer was this. He says, God will provide himself a lamb. And thousands of years would run its course and the generations of time. And I just was wondering about, as I thought about this in the last day or two, did that great answer echo through the generations of time? God will provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. And John the Baptist sees the Lord on this occasion and he says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Heaven's bountiful provision. In Exodus chapter 12, on that great night in Egypt, do you remember how the blood of the Lamb was slain? It was to be without blemish, it was to be without spot. It was to be a male of the first year, and then it was to be slain, and the blood was to be applied on the doorposts and the lintel. And the promise of God to the children of Israel in the land of Egypt was this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the angel of death came. Many of the Egyptian lads were slain. And the sorrow and the tragedy in the homes. And yet when God seen the blood on the houses of the Israelites, the angel of death passed over the blood of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he was revealed to John by the Holy Spirit on the banks of the Jordan. He was the only one who was capable of bearing away the sin of the world. The sinless, spotless one, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Paul said that he knew no sin. And Peter said, he did no sin. And John says in his epistle, in him there is no sin at all. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven. Let us in. Oh, God's heaven's bountiful provision was the Lamb of God. That one who went to the cross, paid the great price of sin on our account. That one who hung upon the cross with nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns upon his brow, in the hours of light and in the hours of darkness. And then he cried from his holy soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in the darkness alone he paid the great price and the great ransom price of our sin. The hymn writer said, there is my surety, he firmly stood, paid for my ransom, his precious blood, died for my sin to bring me to God. Jesus, Jesus died for me. I wonder, did he die for you? I wonder, he died for you tonight, but I wonder, have you realized that he died for you? I wonder, have you realized when he hung upon the cross that great day in history 2,000 years ago, he died for you, shed his blood, paid the great price of our sin. Men took him from the cross and laid him in a tomb, but God took him from the tomb and put him upon the throne, and tonight he lives in the power of an endless life. Tonight he's able and he's willing and he wants to save you tonight. All who come to God through him. And so we have earth's basic problem, the sin of the world. We have God's, heaven's bountiful provision, the Lamb of God. We have salvation's blessed principle. Behold, behold. Look, the dictionary tells me that behold means to see or observe that of a remarkable nature. What a remarkable sacrifice. The Lamb of God upon the cross. Do you remember way back in Numbers chapter 22? The children of Israel were in the wilderness and they grumbled and they complained as usual against God. And there was into the camp there was sent fiery serpents. And those fiery serpents bit the people and many died. And the people come and they fell down in front of Moses and they said they were sorry and asked Moses to talk to God and to pray to God. And Moses prayed and God told Moses this. He said, get the brass, melt it down and make a serpent and put it on a pole in the wilderness. And he says, raise the serpent upon the pole, and when the fiery serpents come and they bite the people, those that look shall live. Those that behold the pole, the serpent on the pole, will live. And so that's what they've done. Do you remember how the brass serpent was mounted on the pole, and when the serpents came, they looked and they lived. Many years later, in John chapter 3, the Lord would tell Nicodemus of how, just as Moses lifted up that same serpent in the wilderness, that even so the Son of Man would be lifted up. That great type in the Old Testament pointed to the cross, to the New Testament, the Lamb of God. You see, there's no other way tonight. Salvation's blessed principle is just look and live. Look and live. You know, I have a great godly heritage. And I was just a wee boy. And I was brought to the gospel meeting in the gospel hall at Ardmore. And I used to sit between my grandmother and my grandfather. And my grandmother was a wee small woman, but she had a big, big heart. And as I thought about this meeting, I can almost hear her singing a great hymn as I sat beside her when I was a wee boy. And the hymn was this: there is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him on the seal, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Look, look, look and live. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Lynn's going to sing a verse at the end of her meeting. That hymn was written by a young girl, her name was Amelia Hull. She was just the age of 20. She lived in Devon, in England. Her father, she was born into an army family. Her father was a sergeant major in the army. Her older brothers were in the army as well. And so everything was very regimental around the home. And Amelia, just at the age of 20, as she walked through the village of Axmouth one day, she seen a sign up for a gospel tent mission. She wasn't allowed to go to church. But curiosity got the better of her. And that particular night, she went to the gospel tent to the mission. And that old gospel preacher got up and he preached about the blood of Christ and about sin and the great burden of sin and the cross of Calvary and salvation for the taking. And Amelia went home. And when she went home, she told her father where she'd been. She'd been at the gospel mission and he went mad. And he says, "You're not allowed to go back." He says, "Them people are fanatics." He says, "I forbid you to go back. You're not allowed to go back." And Amelia that night went to bed and she was heart was heavy and sore as she thought about what that old preacher had preached on. And the next night she snuck out of the house and she went to the mission, to the tent mission. And that old preacher took for his text that night John 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And poured the great story of the gospel from Numbers 22 and from John chapter 3 verse 14. And Amelia, as she sat in the gospel meeting, she drank the truth of the gospel in and got saved. And she went home. And her father was in her study, in the study. And she went in and told him that she got saved in the mission. Many years ago, and her father went to the cupboard and he opened the cupboard and he took out a bamboo cane and he put it on his desk. And he says, "I'm going to give you the 9 o'clock in the morning. Be here at 9 in the morning." And he says, "If you don't renounce what you told me tonight, you're getting that." And Amelia went to bed and she couldn't sleep and she tossed and she turned. And in the middle of the night, she got her paper and her pen, and she began to write a poem, this great hymn. "There is life for a look at the crucified one, there is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him in the seal, unto him who was nailed to the tree." The next morning, she went into her father's study at 9 o'clock, and he says to her, "Are you here to renounce what you said last night?" She says, "Dad, I just want you to read that before I get the bamboo." And her father took the paper and her father began to read the poem. "There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee." And the tears began to flow down his face and he put his head in his hands and he wept. And just through the words of the poem, you come to know the Saviour. There's a great change coming in that home. The sons, when they come back from the army, couldn't believe the change at home. That particular man went on to begin a Brethren assembly in that particular village of Axmouth in England, which they tell me is still open today. Tonight, God's salvation's blessed principle is this. Look. Look and live. I wonder tonight at the end of the meeting, you're tired of your sin? Look to the cross. I wonder tonight, do you want your sins forgiven? Look to the cross. Young person tonight. Teenager. Middle-aged mom and dad. Older friend tonight. Look to the cross. Is your soul sick of sin tonight? Look to the cross. Are you tired with the world? Are you fed up with religion tonight? Look to the cross. Look to the cross. There's life for a look at the crucified one. Tonight, as you sit in this church, And maybe you've come for years and you're still not saved tonight, friend. Look to the cross. Those that listen to my voice over the internet tonight, look to the cross. There's no other way. There's nothing else to do. You can't work for it and pray for it or pay for it. Look to the cross tonight. There's life for the look at the crucified one. Come to the Savior. Make no delay tonight. Look to the cross. Earth's greatest, earth's basic problem, the sin of the world. Heaven's bountiful provision, the Lamb of God. Salvation's blessed principle. Behold, look to the cross tonight. Oh, that God would give you help to do that. That you would just have courage to take the step. Come to the Savior. Look to the cross. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're going to pray, and then Lynn's going to sing for us. Our God and our Father, tonight we thank thee for the gospel message. We do thank thee tonight for the great Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We thank thee tonight for Calvary. We thank thee tonight for salvation's blessed principle. Look and behold the cross. And you do pray that some in this building tonight, or some under the sound of the internet tonight, would look to the cross, would come to the Savior, accept him as their own. Oh God, we pray that when the preacher's voice is silent, that God's voice will be heard, and that some would come to know the Savior for Christ's sake. Amen. Thanks, Lynn. Pray now that you would part us in your fear and with your favour. Take us to our homes in safety, Lord. Keep your hand upon us. O Holy Spirit, speak into hearts, convict souls, and pray that salvation would come. In Jesus' name, amen.